Welcome to the Perfect Life Awakening Show, hosted by Royce Morales. Royce has been a transformational facilitator, teaching groundbreaking, spiritually-based courses for more than four decades. She is the author of three books about her teachings. Join Royce as she takes you on a journey into how to live your best life and find your true purpose through discovering the origins of subconscious, disempowering notions, and releasing them. She talks with experts and inspiring people just like you who learned to trust their intuitive inner wisdom, which led to life-changing shifts. Today, her guests live an empowered existence and are helping change the world to a higher consciousness place based on truth and love. You deserve to awaken to, align with, and embody your true self and live a life filled with love. Transform yourself from triggered to empowered and create your perfect life. Here is your host, Royce Morales.
Hi, thank you so much for being here. This is my first show on Media, and I'm just thrilled that you're here. I feel so honored to be doing this on this amazing platform. And as my recorded intro said, I'm Royce Morales, and I founded Perfect Life Awakening four decades ago, which is hard to believe, but yes, it's been four decades ago. And my tagline, per se, is transform from triggered to empowered, which is really what my work does. The purpose of my show is just like my classes. It's about awakening your empowered, intuitive, conscious, higher conscious self. And I've discovered powerful ways to help people release whatever it is that's blocking them, all that self-sabotage, that inner voice that says, oh, you can't do this, or you know, the false beliefs that you've bought into through the centuries. So I was given these methods intuitively, which I'm sure I'll talk about in future shows, but today I'm going to talk with Michael Benner, who is, as I always say, he's my personal hero. I have listened to him for, I don't know, it seems like forever on your radio show on KPFK. And you recently retired, which just broke my heart, but you're doing other things as well. You've written books and you're writing another book and you're doing individual work with people. So today I wanted to talk with you about purposefulness, and I want to get your take on it. But before I do, because I know how much you love to talk, I want to talk a little bit about my viewpoint about purposefulness, living a purposeful, meaningful life, which are kind of two different things, but we'll talk about that. So what I believe about purposefulness is that all of us have some specific reason for being here. And it doesn't have to be save the whales and find a cure for cancer. It could be something small. It could be, you know, being an amazing higher consciousness trash collector. So it's something that we're meant to do. And I think in our world, people are starting to awaken to this. And I think people that have chosen, and I know that on some level we have chosen to be here during this crazy, challenging time, to bring something important to this world, whatever that is. And I think in the bigger picture of things, we're here to awaken higher consciousness, love, as opposed to living from fear. We're here to live from love. And I think all of us have a role to play in that. And I find that a lot of times my students arrive in my courses and they're upset and they're angry and they're hopeless and they're confused. And I find that once they realize that some of the reasons that they're feeling that way is because they're not living a purposeful life. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing here. And some of that stuff starts to resolve just instantly by discovering their true purpose. I know it certainly did for me. And you know, we have all kinds of weird and interesting ways of being awakened to our purpose. Boy, I could tell you stories about how I was awakened, but we're here to talk to Michael instead about his. Anyway, so we do know our purpose upon arrival, but we forget. We get sucked into all this physical stuff and all these fears, and then we forget and we wonder why our life doesn't work and why we're angry and confused and hopeless all the time, like I was saying before. So I do find, and then we'll go right into what Michael Benner has to tell us, but I do find that when you do discover your purpose, it becomes a stable sense of joy and happiness. And as Michael has said to me before, it's fun. I think that's so important, because if you're not having fun, I don't know, if it feels like a duty and a drag and, oh, I have to do this thing, you know, there's something off about it. So it's fun, stable happiness. It's always, your higher self is always trying to get you to awaken to it. And it, like I said, it does all kinds of things to do that. So let's talk to Michael Benner. Michael, welcome to my show. I'm so honored that you're here.
Royce, good morning, and thank you so much for inviting me to your brand new TV show. And this is your first show on this channel, right?
You are the grand opening. Yes.
The opening.
Couldn't think of anyone better. Couldn't think of anyone.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, can you tell us? I know that you have lived decades of a very purposeful life. How did that happen for you? Was it just something that landed in your lap, or was there a knowingness about it? How did that occur in your life?
Well, like so many things, it was a gradual awakening. You can probably tell by my gray hair that when you say I've been doing this for decades and decades and decades. So I'm a baby boomer. That's my point. I was born right after the end of World War II with this big surge of babies. And we were the first generation to see televisions roll into our living rooms. Mm. And I think it made my generation very idealistic. Suddenly the poverty in the world, the gross injustice of the civil rights movement was pouring into my living room. And of course, the war in Vietnam later, and all the turmoil of the 1960s. And those of us who were old enough to remember or who are reading history know about the counterculture really that came out of that in the 1960s, the so-called hippies. But it was much more than just refusing to put on a suit and work in a big corporation. We were looking for values. And again, I'm not sure exactly why this generation, but I think television had a lot to do with the TV news. And certainly for me, it did. And so I thought, well, that's what I'm going to do for a living. I'll do the news, and then I can find out what's really going on. And I'll get on the radio or television. People told me I had a perfect face for radio. So I went with radio, and I thought, I'll tell the news. Well, Royce, after about 5 or 6 years, I realized all I'm doing is reporting government stuff. And this is not the truth I was looking for. So I began to use radio in my radio talk shows and my news interviews to pick the brains of really bright people, authors and experts and specialists, as I understand it's your intention to do here with this show today. And so I became really interested in first psychology, and positive psychology was just burgeoning in the 70s and 80s. Until that time, psychology was pretty much focused on abnormal psych. But somebody along the way, again, part of this revolution of the 1960s, said, wouldn't it be nice to study healthy, happy people and find out, you know, what are these people doing well? What are they doing right? And that fascinated me. And then there was the Aquarian conspiracy era and this whole idea of a major quantum leap in consciousness. And I thought, that's the truth I'm looking for. So my interest in Eastern philosophy and Western philosophy, and as I mentioned, psychology, sort of fueled me and informed me along the way. And I've always followed that passion and found my purpose in that.
Wow. So you're talking about the age of Aquarius? That time
scale. That's what the... Yeah, that's what the book Aquarian Conspiracy was about. Sometimes it was called the New Age, but that always felt funny because so many of the principles are timeless.
Yes.
In fact, my radio show, my podcast, and pretty much everything I do now is labeled Ageless Wisdom Mystery School.
Yeah.
So ageless wisdom is a term, or ancient wisdom, or it's also called the perennial philosophy or Prisca Theologia. And this is the idea of a global philosophy, a quasi-religious but really non-religious approach to spirituality that predates even religion. We find it in indigenous peoples around the world and in shamanism. And if you begin to study mysticism, you find this consensus around the world that stands apart from and outside of religion. For the most part, there's some overlap, but it's absolutely fascinating, the nature of the soul. Who are we? What are we for? Why are we here? And to study that in all cultures and at all times is fascinating. And we do see this this link, this consensus, that this thread, this golden mean that runs through it all.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely think that golden mean that floats through it all is the fact that all of us do want to discover why the heck we're here. You know,
it's just, well, we'd so- like a little meaning. I think the what we're conditioned, of course, to do is be worker bees. And we're tempted by all the wonderful luxuries of the modern era and the technology, the computers and, you know, our iPhones and just streaming music and video on demand. And my God, I remember the first time I got a TiVo and I could rewind live TV. I was just, oh my God. Oh, I've been
having... I've changed, yay.
But there's got to be more
yeah.
than earning and spending and producing and consuming. And we all know the old joke about you can't take it with you, but it doesn't seem to affect our behavior.
That's true. Yeah.
We're doing our best to acquire, to repair and replace and acquire more as if we could take it with us. It does beg the question, what can we take with us? Mm-hmm. I think that's a good question to ask. What could we take with us in all seriousness? And maybe we could devote a big, significant part of our lives to developing that.
Yeah, I think, you know, on some level, I think people are kind of obsessed about that, you know, and they don't even realize it. I know that a lot of times people say to me, oh, I never really thought about the fact that I'm a spiritual being. And it's like, well, how could you not? It just blows my mind that some people are so oblivious or so unconscious in that way that they don't even think about it. But I know that, you know, I always think I have this thing that I do in my classes where I say, okay, imagine your deathbed scenario. Now, what would you be saying? What would you be doing? What would you be regretting? And I know that probably the biggest thing that we would be regretting is the fact that we didn't live a purposeful life, that we didn't manifest what we are supposed to do here, you know, and whether it's save the whales or keep our house clean or pick up garbage, there's something that we were supposed to do and we knew it and forgot. And we're lying there dying going, I blew it once again.
I think that one of the big regrets that many people will have, I don't disagree with you, but I'll say it a little differently, that my life is almost over and I forgot to pay attention to most of it.
Yeah, forgot to be present.
Because I was lost in regrets about the past, reviewing and trying to relive my past as if I could heal it or fix the trauma or somehow escape the pain and suffering that I carry with me. People think we're victims of that, but we're not stuck in it. We carry it with us.
Yeah.
And why we do that, you and I can talk about more. Or in the future, constantly planning or wondering what's going to happen next and how I can influence what's being done to me. And of course, every moment we spend thinking about the past or dreading the future or even planning the future, those are moments that we're missing reality because the here and now, the eternal nature of the unfolding moment is the only reality. The past and the future are just dreams in our heads. They're just imaginings. They're not real.
Yeah, that is true. So I guess we've kind of been talking about this, but I wanted to really get into the notion that we do know what our purpose is, but we forget. And I know that when I work with people, one of the things they get in touch with is, you know, joining in with this body and how we immediately go into this fearful place and it's got to survive and we've got to do this and we've got to get approval and we've got to get love and all of that stuff that we do. And it causes us to just forget or bypass or ignore what our higher consciousness is telling us we're here to do. So do you have thoughts about that?
Yeah, I don't think there really is any attainment here. Life as a journey is, God, such a common allegory or model, as if we're all going someplace. we're trying to attain something or develop something. And I, people can disagree with this. Reasonable people, I'm sure, will. But I don't think there's that much to attain beyond our basic needs, you know, shelter, an ability to pay our bills, to get around a car or a bus pass or a razor scooter or something, and some minimal needs. You know, a smartphone is almost a requirement these days to get along. But then when is enough enough? And what are we really trying to develop or attain? The monotheistic religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam share a view that it's all about getting to a better place and that your life is going to be filled with misery because you're basically a bad person and you need to be redeemed, you need to be saved. And so I think we get our sense of, I've got to do something. I've got to get somewhere. I've got to redeem myself. I've got to be saved so I can live in glory in the afterlife. And what if all of that was right here, right now? Hmm. What if, let's make it simple. What if the peace we're looking for, the happiness that we're looking for, the love and joy and contentment, the meaning and purpose that we're looking for, is already in us, and it's not a matter of getting there or attaining anything, but of shedding all of the stuff that's standing in the way, all of the stuff that we carry with us that we could let go of, right? And that's my belief. We don't have to attain peace and love. We need to, well, Rumi said it very well. How did Rumi say it? Yours is not to seek and find love, but to let go of everything that is not love.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do find maybe it's a step that people need to take. And I know you just kind of jumped over a huge chasm to get to that other place. But I think people need to take that step-by-step awakening so that they can resolve some of that old stuff so that they can get to that place where they say, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm it already, you know? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Well, it matters. Everything matters. I'm not saying that I'm not a nihilist. I love life. I love people. I love the experience of life. And, being in physical form is an incredibly rich and glorious experience. I watched a video on YouTube the other day of a baby burro being born. And how it took about 20 minutes to find its feet, and then how all the other animals in the barnyard came around to check out this new alien creature, and there were llamas and goats and even these enormous cattle in this guy's barnyard, and the chickens, and they were all arranged in a semicircle around this brand new little burrow. And gosh, it touched me so deeply. It was like Dr. Doolittle, only for real, I just absolutely loved it. So things matter. It it matters a great deal. Let me tell you a little story that, a true story, and it's brief, but it's impactful. It was a major incident in my life. And we have to go back 22 years in a few weeks to 1990. And I was riding my motorcycle from a cabin that I had up in Pine Mountain, California, up at the top of the Grapevine near Fraser Park. And I was coming down the I-5 freeway near Lake Castaic, and the rear end froze up on this bike. It had become depleted of oil, and that's a whole long story why that happened, but it was a shaft drive bike. I'm going 75 miles an hour, trying to get around all these trucks, and the rear end froze, and I went into a skid at 75 miles an hour. Well, the front end, as you might imagine, went to the left and then the right and then the left again real quickly as I lost control of the bike, and I flew off it like Rocket Boy. And flying through the air, I completely accepted that I was going to die. I knew I was going to die. If it was such a peaceful, clear understanding that there's no way you're going to survive this. If hitting the pavement at the speed doesn't kill you, these trucks will. And anybody that knows the Grapevine up there in Lake Castaic, I mean, even if you don't, you can imagine three lanes of highballing trucks roaring down this hill. I knew I was a goner. Well, Soul pulled me out as I'm flying through the air like Rocket Boy, and time has slowed enormously. I go unconscious. The next thing I remember, Royce, is I'm stepping over the line that separates the right-hand shoulder from the edge of the road. And it's like waking up, except I'm running. But I'm waking up, and as I cross into the shoulder, the voice in my head says, "You made it." Oh. And I turned around and looked. Now, I must have been conscious. This is my point. Unconscious bodies don't jump up and run off the freeway, right? So I must have been conscious and decided to do that, but I have no memory of it. And so that's curious. But the point of the story is a couple of days later, I thought I should do a meditation devoted to the meaning of this. Like, I believe in karma. I don't believe in accidents. Everything has a cause. Everything has a reason. Everything, if you will, has a purpose, not just your life, but every circumstance, situation, event, and condition and relationship has meaning and purpose. And what came up in the meditation, just as clear as a bell, this voice said to me, my inner voice, higher self, whatever, life is a gift. And I thought, well, that's pretty profound. That must be the message. So I took a breath and opened my eyes and went about my life. But that didn't seem complete. It was beautiful. Life is a gift. Wow, I've received the gift of life. And I've survived this horrible accident. And I'm not really injured that badly, you know. Nothing broken, nothing burst. But it just didn't feel complete. So I did another meditation a day later and opened my mind once I got into a nice deep level and held the question in my mind. I heard the message, life is a gift, but is there more? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And I sat there quietly for a few moments and the voice came again and it said, "Royce, give it away." And then it all made sense to me. I thought the first message was life is a gift that I have received twice. Once when I was born, once when then again when I survived. That's not what the message was. The message was life is a gift that we are to give to others.
Well,
that the meaning and purpose of our life, if you don't mind me jumping to the point here, is to be of service to others. Now, we have to develop ourselves first. You know, like that old story of the air mask and the oxygen mask on the airplane. You've got to put yours on first if you're going to be of any help to anybody else. So we need to develop ourselves. What am I going to give to other people? What do I have to offer other people? And it doesn't need to be much. It could just be a little kindness. It could be a little patience or a little more tolerance. It could be butching up when you're in a funky mood and not bringing everybody else down around you, but sort of make the best of it, knowing your mood will pass. It always has. Everything does. And then there are really big sacrifices that we can make for other people. But I think we both know that there is no joy greater than that which accrues as a result of really helping other people, regardless of whether you got anything in return for it. even gratitude or appreciation, I think even that's asking too much. Then it would be a swap. To really give is to need nothing in return, and to even do it anonymously so that nobody knows.
Yeah. What a beautiful story. I love that. That is just perfect. So we're going to take a little break. I am talking with Michael Benner, and we'll be right back. This is the Perfect Life Awakening Show with Royce Morales.
Om Times TV. Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
When I first saw a turtle, my heart was full. Not anything but lonely.
We had this like deep connection, this heart connection.
He just wants to be close to you and part of your life.
Every day with Turtle is a perfect day.
When I'm holding her, it makes me feel calmer.
I think everything he does shows how much he loves us.
When we adopt a shelter pet, we discover they're a little bit of a lot of things.
But they're all pure love.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Michael Benner, the amazing Michael Benner, who just shared such a heart-touching story. I have chills. I was holding back tears listening to that, and it just seemed to me that your higher consciousness said, oh, this guy's not done here. he has 20 more, 40 more years of broadcasting, whatever the date was, 40 more years to enlighten the world as to what's really going on, which kind of leads me into, I know I mentioned this earlier, but I want to talk with you. Why do you think all of this stuff is going on in the world and people are starting to awaken and the consciousness is shifting finally? You know, the new age or the age of Aquarius, I think it's really upon us. And I think that discovering our reason for being here, whatever it is part of that. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. These are accelerated times.
Yes.
And the thing we need to understand about this from a metaphysical or spiritual point of view, I think, is that nothing exists without its opposite. You see this in the yin and yang of Chinese Taoism, for example, the idea of not just balance, but polarity. You think of a bar magnet as having opposite poles. And if you've ever played with bar magnets, you know, the poles are exactly opposite. Like poles repel and opposite poles attract. And yet there's one unified and we could say, I guess, harmonious magnetic field around that bar magnet. And the yin and yang symbol says the same thing. There is the black side and the white side, but there's a dot of the opposite in each. So it's never exclusive, all black or all white, all yin or all yang. And plus there's a wave that goes through it. All spirit, all energy vibrates. And so anything that vibrates has a peak and a trough, or a crest and a trough, a positive and a negative, a yin and a yang. And then the circle is proscribed in Taoism, or that symbol is proscribed by a circle, which suggests wholeness and unity. And we see this in riding a bike, for example. When your legs go up and down, back and forth, your feet go around and around. So what looks like back and forth is actually a cycle. And so we're always going to have good and bad in the world. Or maybe better said, the positive things that make us happy and which we wish to embrace, but there's also going to be difficult times and the times of injury and suffering, sickness, aging, and death. And I don't mean just our own. I mean, when you're a little kid and your dog dies, or your grandparents die, and then your parents die, and then your friends start dying, there's a lot of suffering and loss, even if, you know, you're perfectly healthy. So what I'm saying, Royce, is that in order for consciousness to be birthed, in order for us to bring heaven to earth or create a new age of peace and love and enlightenment, the utopian vision of a world that works for everyone with peace and justice for all, we have to go through pain. We have to go through suffering. Birth itself is painful. There's screaming and crying and blood flying everywhere. And so it needs to be. That's the way things need to be. For example, if I don't think most people know this, but if a butterfly were halfway out of its cocoon and you thought you'd do it a favor by taking a little pair of scissors and cutting it out the rest of the way, that butterfly would never fly.
Yeah.
It needs the struggle of coming out of that cocoon to force the bodily fluids into the wings to strengthen. And so adversity and our problems make us strong. They promote learning. They promote compassion. They promote understanding of ourselves and others. And so just before something really wonderful, there has to be some real dark challenges and some scary times.
Yeah,
I think that's what we're going through. In Eastern philosophy, there's this idea of the Kali Yuga. These are great epics or ages, and we're in the Kali Yuga, which is very dark times. Our sudden burst of technology has far exceeded our maturity. And so we have all this incredible science and technology and no idea what to do with it or what it's really for, except to make more stuff and fill the landfills and poison the oceans. And one of the things I find curious about science fiction books is the technology always speeds ahead in a science fiction book, but the emotional maturity of people never seems to grow. And that's a missing link. We're going to have to grow the mind and the heart, which is consciousness. That's awareness. That's what we're talking about, to be more aware, more self-aware, to pay attention, to notice what we notice, and be about the business, the business of awakening, which is the name of your show, Perfect Life Awakening, right?
Yeah. I like that. That's a new word you just invented, the business. Wisdom and business together.
The business of wisdom is business.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, it is. It's about paying attention. And the fact that you meditated and asked, you know, what the lesson or what you were supposed to get from that motorcycle experience, and you got that answer, was, that's what we all need to do, you know. And the answers are there, and we can get them. And it's just a matter of asking and being present and trusting and listening.
One of the things that I emphasize, and I bet you do too, what I know of your personal work and your training, is the development of intuition as a yes. complement to logic. Logic is a wonderful thing, but it's mostly deductive. I won't go on about this, but there is something called inductive logic, but it's not very logical, and it's very easily misunderstood and improperly used. Almost all logic is deductive. You start with a general and you go to a specific. You take things apart. But how do we put them together if we have a bunch of observed details or specifics and we want, you know, maybe we feel that there's some connection here, something unifies all of these separate parts, but we're not sure what it is. We have not been taught a way to do that, to use our imagination, create creatively a higher brain function for realizing or promoting that aha experience of illumination. That, the thoughts that arrive full blown. 30 years ago, I interviewed the author of a book called The Crack in the Cosmic Egg, incredible book from the 1970s. Joseph Chilton Pierce, he was a humanities professor. And that's how he described intuition. Thoughts that arrive full blown. You know that feeling? Yes. It's a coming of light. It's the inside of your head is illumined. And you suddenly see what had been there all along, but you just hadn't seen it before. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is intuition. And it is not illogical. It is non-logical. And it is what I employed in that meditation. That's when you sit quietly and listen. All you have to do is hold the question gently in your mind. Remember, Christ said, ask and you shall receive. Knock on the door, shall be opened. A lot of prayer is about petitioning, but how much of it is followed by contemplation where we listen for the answer? Maybe like my first meditation, you get up too soon. We can develop that intuition. Indeed, if we want to accelerate our growth, find our purpose, meaning, and be most effective in this life and enjoy the happiness, the simple joy and happiness for no reason that accrues, we really have to develop intuition and work with teachers like you to do that, because it's somebody's got to teach us. You can't just figure it out yourself.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, as you're talking, I'm remembering how when I was told, the universe told me in no uncertain terms that I was supposed to be teaching, and I just thought, oh my God, that's crazy. You know, I was painfully shy, and I didn't believe I knew anything, even though I'd been studying and developing my spirituality and my intuition and all of that for my entire life. And it just all fell into my lap very spontaneously, but what I realized was, when I was probably 3 years old, I used to invite all the kids on my block to come and sit in front of a chalkboard, and I would teach them stuff. And it was like the greatest joy. I loved doing that. And I had totally forgotten that part of myself. And you just thought, oh no, I'm shy. But no, I started teaching at the age of three. So yeah, I think we all know these things about ourselves, but we forget and we, you know, go in a different direction and we're miserable. So, yeah.
Well, so everybody has something to share, something to teach, something to offer. You know, we've got this fingerprint evidence and now DNA proof of our individuality. our absolute uniqueness. We've always heard that no two snowflakes are alike. Why would the universe do that? Why is the universe going out of its way to avoid duplication on all levels and in all forms? It suggests a reason, or it must be a reason that each of us is unique. And it occurs to me that it may be somewhat like a big jigsaw puzzle, where maybe we have a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and every piece is a different shape and carries different information. No two pieces are alike in the jigsaw puzzle. Yeah. And yet, if even one were missing, if we put that whole puzzle together and realize there's one piece missing, I suspect we'd probably throw it out.
Yes.
I think that speaks directly to not only the importance of every single living being on this planet, but the essential nature of our individuality. That means everybody has something to offer. You were made and put here for a reason. There's a mission, there's a job to do, and it's not just earning and spending and trying to keep your head above water until you die. There's something really profound going on here. Yes. But we have to consider what that says about who we are, not just what we do, but who are we and what are we for?
Yeah.
You see, to say we are spiritual beings is simply to honor Einstein, who said, hey, everything is energy. Energy and mass, material stuff, this computer that we're talking on, this microphone, this chair, my cup of coffee, my phone, it's all energy. Everything is energy.
Yeah.
And energy cannot be created or destroyed. That's what spirit is.
Yeah.
It's just energy. And the idea that spirituality conflicts with science is absurd. Science is coming to the rescue and saying, you crazy old mystics, you've been right all along. Consciousness is awareness is everything. Awareness. Wake up. That's what it's all about. Notice what you notice. Be mindful. Be aware. Stay right here, right now, and watch. Don't be the thinker all the time. Be the watcher. Don't get so embroiled in your emotions that you forget that you can be the observer of your emotions, and you can, with breathing and relaxation, manage those emotions and avoid the regrettable things we say and do when we get emotionally cranked up or triggered. There again, I'm singing your song. Didn't I see something in your promotion for this TV show about going from being triggered to
empowered.
How did you say it?
From triggered to empowered.
Yeah. There you go. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And not to shift gears a little bit, but what you said just triggered something in me that
in a good way.
I think one of the things that we forget that we can do as these human people that we are is to ask. You know, it's so important to just ask the universe, ask yourself, ask your guides, whoever it is you feel like asking, well, what is my purpose? And I always tell people, be careful what you ask for, because you will get an answer. The universe is a yes machine. It's designed to give us answers. So once you ask, once you pose that question, you're going to find out what your purpose is. And it could be flying off your motorcycle to find out, or it could be, you know, in my life, it was people arriving in my living room saying, oh, you have these things to teach us. Come on. So just ask and trust.
Yeah. Like I said before, asking you shall receive, knocking the door shall be open. Questions. Now, again, my background is journalism, so I was trained to interview and ask questions. And I love asking questions. It requires that you be a good listener. And in in the listening, then the follow-up question comes. That's what you're doing right now in interviewing me. You could have a list of questions, but as soon as I say something interesting, you'll say, oh, well, let's follow that up. Let's go over there, right? And you toss the list away. Questions in many ways are more powerful than the answers. To ask the right question and to keep asking questions, to wonder. I mean, the word wonderful means to wonder, to ask, to inquire, to seek. But again, the allegory of the journey, we think of going out into the world, like Frodo taking the ring back to Mordor, or Dorothy working her way through Oz so she can get back to Kansas, or Luke in Star Wars or whatever. But we're talking about an inward journey, which requires us to close our eyes, our physical eyes, and open the mind's eye, the third eye, so-called. Even Christ said, when the eye becomes single, the body is filled with light. Mm-hmm. And again, that's the intuition. The intuition in meditation may come like the dawn, slowly, gradually, the dawning. We even have a phrase, the dawning of an idea. And the light comes in very slowly, allowing you gradually to see what was there, but you hadn't seen until now, about yourself, about who you are, about meaning and purpose. Sometimes it's quite lid lifting, you know, there's this light bulb pops on. That's another archetype for a great idea. You see the cartoon, the little light bulb appear. Right? Same thing. It's the light. Now we're illumined. Oh, I see. It was here all along. But or we may be thunderstruck and the whole top of your head blows up. But the coming of the light, that's exactly what it's like. Mm-hmm. Going into a dark room and either flipping the switch or fading up the dimmer. Oh, now I see. And that is not taught in schools. All this concern about concentration, but very little teaching about the nature of awareness and intuition.
Nothing, yeah. Yeah, just memorize those facts. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
It's got to change. It's got to change.
Yeah. So, gosh, I have a list. Speaking of lists, I have a list here of questions to ask yourself to see if you are on a purposeful path. And I'm not going to read all of them because there's a lot of them, but just a few are jumping out at me. The first question to ask yourself, do you feel joyous when you're doing it, even if it's challenging? You know, I find that there is nothing that gives me greater joy than teaching and doing these interviews. Do you feel enthusiastic? Do you feel energized? People say to me, oh my gosh, aren't you exhausted when you're done teaching? It's like, no, I feel energized. I could walk on the moon, you know? Do you feel better about yourself, more empowered in other areas of your life? Does it feel right? Even if it's hard, even if it doesn't make logical sense that you're doing this. Do others, and I think this is an interesting question that maybe our listeners can ponder, do others question their purpose or their existence when they're around you? You know, do they start thinking, well, maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm watching you over here. So there's something that maybe they start questioning themselves. Does it matter to you that you ever get recognition? You know, if you never make a dime doing this, nobody ever says, wow, you're an amazing broadcaster, Michael. Would that matter? Would you still do it? You know, I think that's an important question. Let's see what else I have on my list. Oh, does it kind of come effortlessly to you? I know that when I started teaching, I was questioning myself and stuttering and stammering, but still there was a flow to it. I knew that what was coming out of my mouth was important and kind of effortless. And does the thought of not doing this make you extremely sad? Just extremely sad. And I know I mentioned before that you retired from broadcasting and how sad that made me, but I know you're doing other forms of your purpose now. But how does it make you feel? Do you feel sadness about that?
No, it's just a different medium. Radio is a wonderful medium, but it's a medium, and there's we have so many choices and options, and it's allowed me to focus on my private work, which I've always done. And since the pandemic, of course, we've had to do this by telephone or Zoom or Skype or whatever. But I find that so much of the time I spend with my clients, their eyes are closed anyway. It doesn't really much matter.
Right.
Marsha McLuhan said years ago, the medium is the message. Well, that may be, but I think the message rises above the medium. So besides the private work, I'm also doing a free Zoom class every Sunday.
Tell us about that. And that's so awesome. I've attended several of those. They're really wonderful. Thank you for that.
It's called The Wisdom of the Soul. Again, if you want to Google it, it's the Ageless Wisdom Mystery School. Everything I do is Ageless Wisdom Mystery School. The website is theagelesswisdom.com with the T-H-E, theagelesswisdom.com. The Wisdom of the Soul is a non-religious approach to spirituality. It's about personal and transpersonal psychology and development. We pull on psychology, philosophy, and the full spectrum of all the religions, from the ultra-conservative to the mystical, and look for those common threads and those connections in philosophy, in theology, spirituality, even quantum physics and metaphysics. And so recent classes we've done in the past, for example, we did a class on karma. We did a class on the Eastern concept of the middle way. We've done classes on intuition. We were just talking about intuition and comparing it to logic. I did a class that everybody seemed to really like on thinking and separating task-oriented thinking, which is deliberate and purposeful, from the intrusive thoughts that brain researchers call task-unrelated thinking. So task-related is obviously, I'm being interviewed by Royce, I better pay attention and think about what I'm going to say, or I'm going to write a letter, or I'm going to make a list or solve a problem or make a decision. But then when I'm done doing that, and I'm just wandering around the house or end up in the kitchen, you know, the mind doesn't go blank. It still generates thoughts. And most people call that thinking, and they believe that these task unrelated thoughts in our heads are evidence that I'm thinking these thoughts. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're full of negativity and self-loathing and fears of inadequacy and old tapes running about how bad, stupid, wrong, and rotten you are, and you'll never be any good. And the tragedy is that people just assume that that's their thoughts. Those are their thoughts. And that's what I keep thinking. No, those are not your thoughts. That's garbage that's bubbling up from the unconscious. And part of the personal development work that we do is teaching people to be the awareness behind the thought, so that when some nonsense bubbles up about, well, I'm not a very good teacher, or who would, how about this? What's lovable about me?
Right.
Yep. Why would anybody want to spend time with me? Why would anybody want to love me? And the more we think about that, the more we dig ourselves into a hole and end up convincing ourselves, well, there is nothing lovable about me. And of course, no one would want to spend 10 minutes with me. Yeah. And now I wonder why I'm all alone. Oh, we don't realize we just pushed everybody away with our funky attitude.
Yes.
And now we're a victim of that loneliness, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
To learn to be the awareness behind that garbage that we call thinking, when it's not deliberate and purposeful, is to make a horrible mistake. We need to realize that we're the awareness that can choose. I affirm that thought. That's a great thought.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to keep that. But this thought and this thought, that's nonsense. That's an old pattern from a false assumption from childhood, or the first time a girl rejected me or made fun of me or whatever. And you have to learn to separate the awareness from the thinking, separate your awareness from your emotions, separate your awareness from your speech and your behavior, and you end up making much better decisions. You're more self-aware.
Yes. Michael, I would love to speak with you for another hour, but I keep getting these little notices that we need to wrap up. So we'll have to continue our discussion in the future. So real quickly, how do people get in touch with you? And somebody just texted and wants to know what time on Sunday is the meeting. I think it's 11 Pacific time, right?
That's right. 11 a.m. California time, West Coast time. And to get the Zoom link, you need the newsletter. And to do that, you simply go to the site I just gave, theagelesswisdom.com.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I'll tell you, for the Zoom class, let me correct that. For the Zoom class, it's best to go to michaelbenner.com, and you'll see a button.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And we will talk again soon.
Thank you. Namaste.
You too. Bye-bye.